This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. Time now for a look at Monday's headlines, and healthcare is still issue number one here in Washington. Now, days after the bipartisan healthcare summit at the White House, Republicans and Democrats talking less about policy issues, although that's still definitely on the front burner, but now it's more about process. Will Democrats use reconciliation to try and work around a potential Republican filibuster in the Senate? And do House Democrats have the votes to move this process along? Over the weekend, on the Sunday morning chat shows, members of both parties talking about the importance of this process and why it should or should not go forward. Tennessee Republican Senator Lamar Alexander, who was the first spokesperson for the Republicans at the summit, says Democrats would be wrong-headed to move forward on a bill the American people have clearly rejected. He calls it a political kamikaze mission for Democrats.
It would be a political kamikaze mission for the Democratic Party if they jam this through after the American people have been saying, look, we're trying to tell you in every way we know how, in elections, in surveys, in town hall meetings, we don't want this bill.
Another key senator in this debate is Budget Committee Chairman Ken Conrad in the U.S. Senate. He's a Democrat from North Dakota who supports the health care bill, but he doesn't believe this particular piece of legislation fits the criteria for pushing forward through reconciliation.
The major package of health care reform cannot move through the reconciliation process. It will not work.
It will not work
because of the Byrd rule, which says anything that doesn't score for budget purposes has to be eliminated.
Senator Alexander appeared on ABC's This Week program, Senator Conrad on CBS's Face the Nation. Nancy Pelosi also appearing on the ABC program over the weekend. She was asked what will happen to House Democrats if they vote for what seems to be a very unpopular bill. Pelosi says people aren't elected to Congress to get reelected. They're elected to get things done.
It took courage to pass Social Security. It took courage to pass Medicare. Why are we here? We're not here just to perpetuate our service in Congress. We're here to do the job for the American people.
So will reconciliation actually be the avenue by which Democrats try to get this legislation approved? Some say yes, some say no. Others say it may not even get that far because it could be rejected on a parliamentary procedure. The Senate parliamentarian could have an important recommendation on this, but ultimately, the decision could be up to the president of the Senate, who is also the vice president of the United States. Former Senate parliamentarian Bob Dove appeared on MSNBC today with MSNBC's Chuck Todd and Savannah Guthrie. He says that ultimately, Joe Biden has the final call here.
It is the decision of the vice president whether or not to play a role here.
He can play president of the Senate.
Absolutely. And I have seen vice presidents play that role in other very important situations. Hubert Humphrey.
So the vice president could overrule the parliamentarian?
Oh, absolutely. The parliamentarian only can advise. It is the vice president who rules.
But as mentioned before, the policy debate still goes on. Mississippi Governor Haley Barbour today saying Democrats are promising to cover another 30 million people through their plan. He says what they don't tell you is that at least half of them are just going to be signed up to Medicaid, the federal government program to provide coverage for the poorest of the poor.
They're going to add, in the president's bill, they want to add 15 million people to Medicaid. That's half of the increase in the people who'd be covered.
Also on the policy front, I spoke earlier today with Arizona Congressman John Shattuck, who says the Democrats, especially President Obama and Health Secretary Kathleen Sebelius, have grossly mischaracterized the Republican Party's approach on helping people with pre-existing conditions get coverage. Congressman Shattuck's explanation of high-risk pools and why he thinks that approach is better than the Democratic government mandate is part of my interview, which you can find at worldnetdaily.com and dateline.radioamerica.org. Huge political fight on another key domestic issue as the week begins. That's because Kentucky Republican Senator Jim Bunning is holding up the process in the U.S. Senate that would extend unemployment benefits to about 400,000 people. And as a result of Bunning's hold on this legislation, those benefits don't get extended, and many government workers may end up being furloughed until the funding is restored. Vice President Joe Biden says that's appalling.
One of Bill's colleagues is standing on the floor of the United States Senate as we speak. He's standing there, and he's preventing the Senate from being able to move forward on doing the kind of thing we're doing here today. What's that mean? 400,000 people will be kicked off the rolls this month if he has his way.
Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid says the Republicans need to reconsider and think about their own constituents who don't have a job right now.
I hope Republicans will reconsider and think about their constituents standing in the unemployment line as we speak. I hope they reconsider.
Even most Republicans are wondering what Bunning is doing here. They say it's only a temporary plan and should be approved in order to have those benefits extended. Bunning says he's in favor of the provisions. He just wants Congress to find the money to actually pay for it.
If we can't find $10 billion to pay for something that we all support, we will never pay for anything on the floor of this U.S. Senate. I have offered several ways to do this, including trying to negotiate with the majority leader staff. None have been successful.
Another U.S. senator is not thinking much about policy debates in Washington, but is focused squarely on tomorrow's gubernatorial primary in the state of Texas. Republican Kay Bailey Hutchison, according to the latest polls, significantly trailing incumbent Republican Governor Rick Perry. But she says she's fighting to the finish, and she says if Texas voters want to change away from deficits when it comes to the state budget, she's the right candidate.
Governor Perry has left us in the lurch. We are going into the next biennium with a $15 billion deficit because he decided to take Obama stimulus money.
Texas Governor Rick Perry says despite the flurry of Hutchison activity late in the campaign, he believes Texas voters already have made up their minds.
A few television ads or radio spots or newspaper advertisements are not going to sway many people from the truths. We have to November, so I don't get confused that this is a marathon, not a sprint.
If the polls are anywhere close to being accurate, Perry will win convincingly. But the question is, in a three-person race, will he get to the magical 50% mark? If he can, Perry wins the nomination. If not, there will be a runoff against the second-place candidate. As for President Obama today, turning his attention to another domestic issue, and that of education. The president says too many of our schools are failing our students when only 70% of our kids are graduating high school these days. And he says a small percentage of schools are the biggest problem. Obama says we've got to take steps to make sure that schools are serving our kids well.
We know that about 12% of America's schools produce 50% of America's dropouts. We're going to focus on helping states and school districts turn around their 5,000 lowest performing schools in the next 5 years.
The president says changes could include firing principals, making public schools charter schools, and other efforts to make sure that kids are getting a quality education and that kids are ready for the technological challenges in a growing economy in the 21st century. The true scope of the devastation from this weekend's 8.8 magnitude earthquake in Chile is still being determined right now. With more footage and more reports coming in, it's clear that the damage is widespread and already at least well over 700 people killed in the quake, as well as some killed by the resulting tsunami in islands near the Chilean coast. Fortunately, the tsunami did not create the type of waves that some had feared as it headed out into the Pacific Basin, including targets such as Hawaii. So given the devastating earthquakes in Chile and Haiti earlier this year, are we seeing way more seismic activity than ought to be expected? Well, Paul Caruso at the U.S. Geological Survey's National Earthquake Information Center tells me no, that we were due for this type of seismic activity because the last couple of years had been relatively quiet. He says he's not surprised by it at all, and he calls reports that the U.S. might be due for a huge quake very soon a speculation, at least at this point. For my full interview with Mr. Caruso, head to worldnetdaily.com or dateline.radioamerica.org. That's a look at Monday's headlines. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.